Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Two chapters in the book of Matthew, one Matthew chapter 4 and the other Matthew chapter 19. And the text of our lesson is going to come from those two chapters, Matthew 4 and Matthew 19. I read to you first of all from Matthew 4, beginning with verse 18 and continuing through verse 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Now turn with me to Matthew 19. I want to begin reading here with verse 16 and also through verse 22. And behold, one came unto him and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now there is something that these two passages of Scripture had in common, and there is something about them which is very, very different. That which they had in common is that Jesus extended an invitation. He extended the invitation in Matthew chapter 4 to those fishermen. He invited them to follow him. And then when we come to Matthew 19, here is this man that comes inquiring of Jesus of the most important subject about which he could consider, what to do to have everlasting life. And Jesus also invites him to follow him. Don't you find it's true that people generally appreciate invitations? Appreciate being thought of. Now you may not be able to accept all the invitations that you receive. May not be convenient or for various and sundry reasons. But you appreciate invitations, don't you? Sometimes we're invited to do things we ought not do. But there's one thing about the invitation of Jesus Christ. It is positively right. I have never known anybody, even among those who unfortunately have fallen away, that had ever expressed regret over having accepted the invitation of Jesus Christ. It can never be wrong to accept the Lord's invitation. And my dear hearer, I am very aware, as you are aware, that there be those whom we love and hold in respect, even in our midst today, as yet have not accepted the invitation of Jesus Christ. Of course, we're concerned about that. The Lord is concerned about that. There are young people, older people, you have not yet responded favorably to the call of the Lord to follow me. And I would persuade you that you need to be concerned about that. The invitation of Christ is very adequately expressed to us in Matthew 11, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For, even as we have just sung, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you please with me for just a few moments this morning, take a look at some of the outstanding characteristics of the invitation of Christ, and it's an invitation extended to each man and each woman and each boy and each girl. To ignore the invitation of Christ is tantamount to rejecting it. Those who are invited must act. You either will accept the invitation or you will reject it, and there is no assumed middle ground where you think, well, I won't have to make a decision. Sometimes I'm persuaded that even young people grow up and think, well, I don't have to make a decision. At least I don't have to make one now. Friend, that's not so. You cannot ignore the invitation of Christ. The very nature of the invitation of Christ demands you either do or you don't accept it. And when you know that the Lord invites you and you know of your need to accept that invitation and you try to push it off, don't you know what you're actually in reality doing? You are rejecting the invitation of Jesus Christ. You see, our Lord will not force anybody to follow Him. He doesn't drive us. He leads us. Our Lord does not compel us to walk in His footsteps. He invites us to do so. We must do so willingly and of our own free will. And if we do not have sufficient love and respect for the Son of God who died for us, of course we're not going to accept that invitation. But when we do, why, what would it that would hinder us from saying yes to the invitation of Christ and conforming to whatever He tells us to do? And isn't it marvelous, and aren't we fortunate, that the invitation of Christ is universally offered? It's to all people. When Christ gave the Great Commission to the apostles, He said, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew, go you therefore to teach all nations. Now we're certainly thankful, aren't we, that we have an opportunity to hear the gospel. It would be rather tragic to hear the gospel, to know that we're lost and doomed and damned and hopeless and helpless, to know that there is a Savior, to know that as our state is, we're on our way to hell, that here is heaven over here, but we can't take advantage of it. Why? Because the invitation would be exclusively to a certain element of people and to nobody else. Aren't we fortunate? Aren't we glad that it's not that way? Aren't we glad that it is whosoever will may come? It is a universal invitation extended to all. And the great blessing of the invitation is that when it is accepted, it offers us the relief that we so desperately need. It gives us rest. Christ said, I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, friend, let's face a reality about ourselves. We may be inclined sometime to sort of push this back into our thinking, but it ought to be on the front burner, if you please. We are human beings. We are not perfect creatures. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we sin, we raise a barrier between ourselves and the Lord. We impose upon our soul the stains of sin. We try to carry a burden that we cannot successfully carry by ourselves. We're not sufficiently capable of living life as it ought to be lived, and certainly not capable of being successful in the after a while attempting to bear the burden of sin of ourselves and by ourselves. It's a burden that will break us. It will destroy us. But we can be relieved of that burden. There is rest for the sin-stained soul. The sins can be washed away. They can be as if they never were. By being washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is by faith that we have access into the grace of God and that we are spared from the wrath of God. Romans 5 and verse 1. And it is because when we accept the invitation of Christ that we can know we are at peace with our Creator and with our Judge, that otherwise would never exist except for Jesus Christ. Paul describes it as a peace that passeth understanding. Again, he told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 7:15 that God hath called us in peace. Don't you find it amazing? A little bit bewildering, even frustrating and beyond our ability to comprehend. Here is one who is weighted down beneath that which will destroy, and here is another that is willing to lift that burden from off of him, but the one who is burdened will have nothing and have no part in it. And that's the situation with those of you who have not favorably responded to the invitation of Christ. It's very difficult to see whether you be one who was in Christ and has fallen away and need to be restored, or whether you be one that has never come to the Lord to begin with at all. Why is it, when this blessing of rest and relief is offered to you by the Son of God, that you would reject His invitation? Think about that. For surely you do not want to continue and persist in that role in your life. But you know, the acceptance of an invitation means you must accept certain responsibilities, doesn't it? You accept anybody's invitation. Somebody invite you to their house, to your somebody invite you to their house today, and you say, "Yes, I'll come." You accept certain responsibilities. Why, you accept responsibility of at least being reasonably on time, and you accept responsibility to be courteous, to be cheerful, to be appreciative, to be respectful. And when we accept the invitation of Christ, we accept responsibilities. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, a yoke is that with which we carry burdens and we lift things. You see, there is a burden or responsibility in accepting the invitation of Christ, but we're lifted over here from a burden that we cannot carry, which is sin. But His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We can do that which the Lord wants us to do. We should never study the Word of God and come to a knowledge of the truth with the idea that this is beyond me. Now, we can be thankful that though we press toward perfection, we never shall reach perfection. And the Lord knows that. And you've heard it expressed many times in your life, haven't you? "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And aren't we glad He didn't say, "Be thou perfect unto death"? For I am sure that if He had said that, that would eliminate your preacher. That would eliminate all of His hearers as well. For perfection is not within our power, but faithfulness is. Keep on keeping on. You can do that. Being steadfast, though you stumble, you can get up. You can do that. You see, being a faithful Christian is not beyond the capacity of any of us. We can do that. The Lord has provided it for us that way. But there are duties and responsibilities both in work and in worship, in the manner of life, and in our demeanor and behavior among the people of the community, and in our family, and our manner of speech, and our habits, and all the other things. There are responsibilities that we accept when we accept the invitation of Jesus Christ, but there are responsibilities that we can discharge. It's not something that's beyond us. It's within our ability to do it. God has taught us what they are and how to discharge them. Now, we read in the Bible of some who've rejected the invitation. For instance, this rich young ruler. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about this. One calls him young, and the other calls him ruler, and all three of them, I think, say that he was rich. And this man that came to Jesus, he's asking, as I said, the most important question: what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's the most important question he could ask. And even a good man, morally, just as personally I am persuaded that some of you who desperately need to respond to the invitation, you're a good person, morally. You don't lie. You don't cheat. You don't steal. You don't commit adultery. You don't kill. There are just a lot of bad things that you don't do. And doubtless there are many good things that you do. You're truthful. You're benevolent toward others. You work hard. You try to discharge your secular and temporal responsibilities in an honorable way. And yet, friend, that's not sufficient. This young man was obviously a religious man that had respect for the commandments under which he lived, and Jesus cited these commandments. And they were the Ten Commandments, not exclusively the Ten Commandments, but he cited the commandments of the old law. That's what this young man was supposed to live by, and he had been doing that. He was a religious person, and it's necessary for you to be religious. But just being religious is not going to be enough. The Bible teaches us we must be religiously right, doesn't it? And the only way that we can know what is right and what is wrong is from the Word of God. And so he asked, "What lack I yet?" And there was something that he lacked. There was an obstacle between him and following Christ. And in his particular instance, his obstacle was his possessions. He was rich, as we've already noted. Christ said, "You've got to get rid of that obstacle. You need to go and sell what you have." He was obviously placing too much emphasis upon what he possessed. And that kept him from committing himself to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Now that was his problem. I don't know what your problem is, dear listener. Young people, older people, if you haven't yet accepted the invitation of Christ, it's obvious to all of us, isn't it? You and me both. There's some problem there. There's some obstacle that you've yet to overcome. And so we would cite to you the teaching of Jesus, whatever that obstacle is, remove it. Get rid of it. Because there's nothing more important than following Jesus Christ, because that's the way that leads to heaven. And so you must remove the obstacle as Jesus taught this young man to remove it. But the sad part of this story is he went away sorrowful because he wanted to continue to do and to follow his own way and his own will. And we often talk about this young man walking away sorrowful. He had good reason to be sorrowful too, because now he was going to continue his journey to condemnation rather than to life eternal about which he had inquired. But I suggest there's somebody else that was sorrowful there, standing there that day, and that was the Lord Jesus himself. Here was one who was almost persuaded. Here was one who lacked something, and he could have filled that lack by the right decision and the right commitment and the right priorities and the acceptance of the invitation, and he walked away from a loving Savior who wanted to give him eternal life. Don't you know that grieved the heart of Christ? My dear listener, hear me now. I don't want to speak harshly to you. I would, if I could, make an appeal to you. Don't you know that when the invitation is extended, and you are subject to it, and you do not respond to it as the Lord would have you do, don't you know that grieves the heart of God? Because He loves you. He seeks your salvation. Can you afford, even in your own conscience, to continue to offend the very Christ that died on the cross of Calvary? The Jewish people rejected Christ, and that's always been a bewildering thing that they did, because their prophets had foretold about Him. They anticipated the Christ. He was a Jew himself. And oft times he would come into the synagogue and he would read from the law of Moses, and he did this recorded in Matthew chapter 21. And there he read about the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. And he cited unto them these passages of Scripture, and he applied them to himself and showed how they applied to themselves, to himself. And the Apostle Paul, Peter also, when he was preaching in Acts chapter 4, cited this same passage of Scripture and showed how that Christ had taught them, Christ had loved them, Christ had performed miracles to show who He was, Christ had shown mercy and kindness toward them, and yet, seemingly they wanted no part of Him. In Matthew 23 and verse 37, we have that pathetic prayer of Christ when He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." You see, evidence abundant has been provided to us, just like evidence abundantly had been provided unto them. Yet they rejected the invitation. Instead of following Him, what did they do? They cried out, "Crucify Him." I think you will agree with me that King Agrippa was one of the more pathetic characters of the New Testament who rejected the invitation. Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel. He had been before the Jewish tribunals. He was now standing before Rome, his very life endangered. And he was brought before King Agrippa. King Agrippa knew the teaching of the prophets, and the Apostle Paul asserted that he knew that he believed the prophets. Even though Paul was accused of madness as he preached the gospel as his defense, Paul knew that Agrippa knew these things to be true. And Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost." And Paul said, "I would God that not only almost, but altogether you would be such as I am, except for these bonds." He didn't want Agrippa to be in prison, but he did want him to be a Christian. But as far as the sacred record is concerned, this man came ever so close. Even as you, by your very presence this morning, you are ever so close to accepting the invitation. But the sacred scripture gives no record of him ever following Christ. Of course, the Bible tells us about some others that did accept the invitation. Our text is Peter and Andrew and James and John. They left all. They followed him. We read about Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. When the evidence was presented to him conclusively that Jesus was the Christ, he did a total 180 degree about face. He was told what to do, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." He straightway was obedient to what the Lord commanded him. He accepted the invitation of Christ. The same thing was true concerning the Ethiopian as he was riding his chariot, and Philip preached the gospel unto him, and he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He was baptized. He went on his way rejoicing. Many of you here, in fact, I would be persuaded that most of you here, we have come today to worship God through the Savior Jesus Christ. You, at one time in your life, you accepted the invitation of Christ to be saved. You recall that hour? Recall that day? It's been many, many years ago for me, many years for some of you, maybe not so long for some of you. But you remember the invitation being extended? And you remember how in your mind you wrestled with that matter? Maybe you had wrestled with it many times before that particular hour, but on that particular occasion you did make the move that was necessary. Maybe it was at a service. Maybe it was at some private occasion with few present. But you made the decision, "I am going to follow Christ." You recall that with gladness. And you're not ashamed of that. And you're humbly grateful that you did that. And there are others of you here, you so desperately need to do that also. Yes, there were those that rejected it, but there are those that have accepted it. And friend, right at this moment, of according to our clock, according to our calendar, according to the time in your life, right at this moment, the invitation of Christ is right before us. What will we do with it? Will we accept it, or will we reject it? Follow me, he says. Who has the courage? Who has the faith? Who has the conviction that you will do what the Lord says and be blessed like the Lord wants to bless you? Or will you continue to be deluded and deceived and misled into thinking that you can go on your way? But friend, I assure you, when you go on your way, you'll be like that rich young ruler. You'll go on your way sorrowful. No, you may not even be sorrowful today. But you reject the invitation of Christ, there's a great day coming. And then you're going to wish you had one more opportunity to accept the invitation, but it'll be too late. I suggest to you that if you could know, you would have literally 1,000 other opportunities to accept Jesus as the Christ and become a Christian. You knew, and we can't know this, can we? But you knew that you'd have 1,000 more times. Why would anybody that loves the Lord and seeing what He has done for us and how abundantly He blesses us, why would anybody want to live one additional hour alienated from Almighty God? Why would you want to do that? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? You can't be saved without that faith. But you also not only must, as our song says, trust, but you must obey in repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. And then you embark upon a life of service. And in fellowship with God and with the redeemed. And if you haven't walked faithfully, if you knew you'd have 1,000 more opportunities, why spend another hour alienated from the Father that once counted you as a loyal child, but you've left home? He invites you to come back. He's longing and waiting with heart bleeding, as it were. And through your repentance and confession of your faults and prayer unto God, He will forgive and receive you again. And that's the invitation that is extended. It's just a matter of what each individual will do. I plead with you for your soul's sake, for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, for your good example to others, and because it's right to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ.